Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, "Some of that stuff wasn't junk"? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, for another episode of the Junk Refund Show, the world's longest-running junk removal radio program. Now in our third year, I think it's our third year with BBS Radio Network. We did a show on CBS a few years ago prior to that, and I'm here to tell you it's never been easier to do a radio show than it is now with all the wonderful technology that's out there. And two thumbs up for the folks out in Texas, the BBS radio people that host this show, and they do a great job. They're great to work with, and I have no complaints. They're just terrific. But we talk about junk removal. I have a junk removal business, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Website, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com, and we've been in the junk removal business 20 years, and it's a lot of fun. I went out to a home in Olney, Maryland, that we had been to a few months back, and they are getting ready to move on Monday, and they have a little bit of cleanup stuff that needs to be done, a little bit of few other items remaining. So I went out there this morning. Two of those items are virtual pinball machines. And I can't remember the brand name off the top of my head, but I looked them up on eBay. One of those machines, and in fact, the homeowners just wanted us to haul them away, but one of the things that we do is put the good stuff up for sale, and if it sells, then you get some money back. That's a better deal. And then we haul it away. Or the guy that we sold it to comes and gets it, and he hauls it away. But it gets hauled away one way or the other. But this way, if it sells, you can make some money. So I told the gentleman this morning, just because they're pinball machines, and I've sold pinball machines before, but they're virtual pinball machines, which means there's no ball that actually gets flipped up onto the tabletop, so to speak, or the playing surface. It's done virtually. But one of these is a Marvel. You know, Marvel Comics is a Marvel machine. The other one says Attack from Mars on it. And they're smaller than the normal pinball machines. So we got those. I told the gentleman, I said, instead of hauling them away today, we're going to go back there again on Tuesday. I said, let's just put these up for sale over the weekend and see if they sell. And if they sell, you get 35% of the sales price. Well, that got him excited. I didn't know anything about these particular machines. So I looked them up on eBay. One of these, similar, same company, I think it was a Star Wars machine, sold on eBay recently for $1,500. That surprised me. I thought I was looking at maybe a $500 machine or a $700 machine or a $300 machine. But instead, it looks like I'm looking at a couple of machines that might go for $1,000 or more. So I stopped the truck this morning, pulled over, took the photos and the videos from when I was there this morning and put those up. They are now up for sale on Facebook Marketplace. the one for 1500, the other one for 1000. And if they sell, that $2,500 of revenue is the equivalent of about 4 12-foot box trucks of junk removal. So sometimes in running this business and in going out and doing the jobs, you know, I kind of think, okay, get in the truck and go, you know, pick something up. Sometimes you have to stop yourself and say, wait a minute, I can make a lot more money if I found an item and just put it up for sale. The best of both worlds. I hauled away some stuff from him. Some of it was metal. I just left the scrap metal yard where they paid us a few bucks for the metal stuff. Now I'm headed out to Sterling, Virginia. It's about a 45-minute ride. I'm picking up a water heater out there. And this scrap metal stuff that I do, I pretty much do it for free in the Washington, D.C. area as a way of just getting more clients and letting them get to meet us. Plus, we'll make a few bucks off the metal. And sometimes these scrap metal jobs can be substantial. I put $5 ads out on Craigslist and made $1,000 off of one scrap metal job because somebody saw my $5 ad. And that $5 ad stays on Craigslist for 30 days. That's a pretty good deal. We just did a deal for finishing up on Sunday, actually. We're doing a deal for the state of Maryland, where they have one of their departments that is changing a bunch of light fixtures. They've hired a company to go in and replace these 4-foot-long, 2-foot-wide, 6-inch-deep metal white light fixtures. And in a 16-foot stake body truck, you can fit about 130 of those in the truck, and you'll get about $160 or $170 when you take them to the scrapyard. Sometimes more, because some of these lights actually have some aluminum kind of, I'm going to call it cross stitch. That's not what it is, though. Some aluminum, plaid shape? I don't know. I can't think of the word. That are in the middle of the light fixture that pop out when you want to take it out. So, and you separate that and you get a little bit more for the aluminum. But anyway, we've hauled, I don't know, probably 800, 900 of those light fixtures out for the state of Maryland. And the guy that hired us to do it, and again, we're doing this for free, but it's not that far that we have to go. Plus, we get paid a decent amount for hauling these in to the scrap metal yard. It's kind of fun to just pull in with a truck that is jammed full of light fixtures, and then you manually throw off 130 of these things down onto the ground. I will tell you that running vertically inside these light fixtures, behind the grate that is there, are some strips of aluminum. And I actually popped the grate off, unscrewed a couple of screws, pulled out the aluminum, did it on maybe 10 of the light fixtures, and figured out I was only making about a dime for every piece of aluminum that I pulled out of this light fixture. It's just so light that it doesn't weigh much, and so you don't make much on it. I decided messing around with the aluminum wasn't worth it. So forget that. So, but just throwing them off makes you a few bucks. And that's kind of what you want, is to go to one place and get a truck full of stuff. And that's what we're trying to do. What I'm doing right now is going out to a prior client who I picked up some stuff from when I was out in his area, said, hey, I got a water heater out here. Do you want it? And I kind of went, yeah, sure. Sometimes when the business is slower and you're not out running around, you know, taking the trucks out and doing junk removal jobs, I go out and try to get, you know, make 5 pickups in a day where I meet 5 new people picking up their metal stuff for free. I then send them electronically my business card, and I give them a deal on future junk removal jobs, and I've picked up 5 more customers who know something about our business. And then they're going to be likely to call us in the future the next time they need some metal picked up or something done, because we hauled away some metal for them and did it for free. So that's a pretty good deal. Anyway, and maybe there's a smarter way to do this. I don't know. There probably is. But my attitude is, if you have some slow times, and hey, it's winter right now, right? So A lot of people staying indoors, just staying warm. But if you have some slow times, go out and try to make more customers, get more customers in one way or another. And that's what we're doing. So we have a growing scrap metal business where we're going in with bigger trucks, more stuff, getting more money. And that's generally headed in the right direction. We had some guys call us from Baltimore this morning who saw our Craigslist ad. Baltimore is about 45 minutes away. Let's call it an hour away from where we are in Rockville, Maryland. And they've got two big metal foil containers that need to be hauled away. And these are the big drums, the big oil containers for, you know, heating oil for a home or an office building, or some of these older ones. And the scrap yards won't take those unless they're cut up, because they are afraid that inside of these are going to be a bunch of heating oil, and they don't want the heating oil, you know, around their scrap yard for environmental reasons and cleanliness reasons and fireproof reasons, I guess, and some other stuff. So we're going to pick these up. I think we're going to pick these up, or we're going to charge them to go up and get them. These contractors just need to get them off the property, and we're waiting to hear back on that. So sometimes we go out and do some stuff for free because we're going to make money on the metal and the wire and the other stuff that we pick up, as opposed to sitting there going, oh, heck, I wish somebody would call us or something like that. Another thing we did is we went in and took just off the web, pulled off 10 apartment complexes in our area, and then kept expanding the radius further and further out. And over the course of about 25 days, we have 240 different apartment complexes. We went to Vistaprint, who I'm a big fan of, and had for maybe $40 printed up some postcards showing a before and after picture from an apartment complex. And we let these people know that we haul away metal items from apartment complexes for free. And we send out 20 a day, and we now have a database of 240 apartment complexes. The nice thing about those is you get a call from them, and they say, yeah, we've got 5 refrigerators, 2 microwaves, and 3 dryers. Can you come get them? And whammo, you fill up the truck in one stop, take it in, drop it off, get paid, go do the next thing. So that's another thing that we're playing around with and having some fun with. But now we have the database, and I think we're going to do the same thing with churches, with hotels. We already have a database of restaurant clients that we work with, and just keep sending these out. It used to be, by the way, at the U.S. Postal Service, you could do a mailer with a postcard, let's say like a 4x6-inch postcard, would cost you about 31 cents. Now it's 61 cents. And that rate just seems to keep going up. But we do it. We buy 20 of those at a time. We send out for $12. We send out invitations to another 20 apartment complexes to do work with us. And then we go about our business, and hopefully we'll get some calls, and we'll do that. So that's been a fun thing. I got to tell you about an experience I had yesterday that was terrific. Sometimes when you own a business and you love what you do, which is my situation, you just kind of jump into it and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And you'll work crazy hours just because you have a passion for what you're doing. When Warren Buffett went around and spoke to college campuses and people would say, how do you decide what you're going to do for your life's work? He summed it up in 4 words. He said, do what you love. And I love that comment. I think that's a great comment. And if you have a lot of passion for it, and you will if you do what you love, then things are good. So yesterday I had a buddy from Sacramento, a guy named Steve, who was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with me when we were both about 19. Steve is now 70. I'm 67. We were assigned, along with a bunch of other people, to go to Independence, Missouri, the Show Me State, and that's where we spent 2 years knocking on people's doors, trying to tell people about God and Jesus and help them have a better life, that kind of a thing. And it was great. You build some great relationships with people who, college-age friends who are out doing what you're doing in that environment, and you build some lifelong memories. Well, Steve was in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, for somebody there, and he came down, and I met him at the Friendship Heights Metro stop in the Chevy Chase, Maryland area yesterday, and we had lunch, and I met him at about 2 o'clock, and we hung out there till about 5:30, and it was delightful. Some of the things that you do in life, like serving a mission, a church mission when you're a college age kid, give you friendships that will last for a lifetime. It has been almost 50 years since Steve and I were missionaries together. One of the interesting things between us, about the two of us, that is very unique, is that both of us, on separate trips, went around the world in 80 days in our 20s. We both got that idea. I guess I got the idea first from the guy that supervised us out in Missouri, because he, about 30 years earlier, was a missionary down in Australia. And back in those days, they gave him and a buddy permission to come home the long way through Asia and Europe. So he basically said, you know, when I asked him one night, what are some of the things you've done in your life that meant a lot to you? He said, my trip around the world was really fun. And I wasn't sure I heard him correctly. I said, say that again. He said, my trip around the world was really fun after my mission. And I said, tell me more. And he just starts telling me these amazing stories about people he met in Iran and Iraq and Thailand and Sweden and, you know, all over the place. And that just got the bug inside of me that says, hey, I should do the same thing. So I went back to our mission office. I talked to a couple of guys that were there, and I said, hey, after we're released from this missionary stuff, do you want to go around the world for 80 days? You know, well, we did. We did that in 1979. We went to 25 countries in about 88 days. And I kept a journal of that trip. And a number of years ago, I uploaded that journal into a book that's now on Amazon. You can go check it out at Around the World in 88 Days and 88 Things I Learned Along the Way by Alan Cook. I'm proud of that book. And as you look at the cover of the book, you'll see three college-age guys with headbands on sitting on camels in front of the pyramids of Egypt. I'm the guy on the far right. So anyway, we'll take a break here. I'm on the freeway headed to Sterling, Virginia. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show, where we try to teach you how to get the junk out of your homes, out of your offices, and also out of your life. I'm your host, Alan Cook. I'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I am about to cross the American Legion Bridge, which is the freeway bridge that crosses the Potomac River from Maryland into Virginia and vice versa. And I'm just having a great time. I'm headed out to Sterling, Virginia, pick up a water heater from a client. And I then have two more water heaters to pick up on my way back in. And then I have an appointment at 5 o'clock that was created through our advertising on Groupon, where I'll pick up about a pickup truckload of stuff. And then I'm waiting to hear from some guys up in Baltimore who called and said, hey, can you come pick up a couple of oil tanks up here? And I had them send me pictures, and I gave them a price, and I basically put the ball in their court, and we'll hear back from them and see what's going on. So in the meantime, in the midst of a busy schedule, this works out really well to be on the road, headed out to pick up something else, and be able to do a radio show. So I was talking about having lunch at the Cheesecake Factory yesterday with my buddy Steve Shoemaker from Sacramento, California, who is a podiatrist. And I'm a junk removal guy, and we're sitting there talking about different things, and he starts talking about amputations he's done and operations that, you know, he's been involved in. His son had an operation yesterday for a skiing accident where he did something to his wrist. And Steve just sat there and kind of explained how it works and what you want to look for as the surgeon and all this kind of stuff. And I just thought, man, that's really cool. I mean, it was really fun. So anyway, but it is really unique. And we told our waiter this, that you just don't run across two guys who, or two girls who in their 20s went around the world. But you do when you have Steve and I at your table. And boy, do we have stories to tell. I asked him, and this is along the line of how to get the junk out of your life. One way to do it is to travel and go have some fun experiences. I asked him what was the funnest experience of his trip. And he starts telling me about Tibet and Nepal, where we never went there, but he and his buddy Kelly Painter out of Gilbert, Arizona, they were 25 and 26 years old at the time that they went. I was 21, and they rented a motorcycle. Each of them got a motorcycle, from what I understand, and rode those motorcycles about 35 miles next to the rice paddies and the beautiful mountains and the scenery in Tibet. And he just said that was one of the greatest things that he's ever done in his life. So then he asked me, what was your funnest day? And immediately I think of a day I had down in New Zealand where we decided between the three of us, after traveling together and being together for about 2.5 months, we decided to take a day and just let everybody go out and do whatever they wanted to individually. So we kind of split up for a day. I wanted to go horseback riding, and I found a ranch called the Double R Ranch south of Hamilton, New Zealand, down by Rotorua, famous for its glowworm caves down in New Zealand. And I got on a bus, and I told the bus driver, I'm getting off at the Double R Ranch. Can you just let me know when that is? He said, sure. So I'm on this bus. We're going south, and he pulls over the side of the road, and he motions for me. He goes, here it is, that road right there on the left. That's where you want to go. It's down that road. Well, that road just kind of disappeared into the horizon, and I couldn't really, see what was at the end of it. And I thought, well, okay, here I go. So it's an interesting thing to be a 21-year-old kid in New Zealand, getting off a bus by yourself. You're walking down a road. There's nobody around. It's just beautiful green rolling hills. Sheep and little lakes and ponds everywhere. It's just spectacular scenery. But I'm walking down this road towards a ranch that I hope is there. And pretty soon, in a Jeep, here comes the owner of the ranch, sees me, stops, says, hey, what can I do for you, mate? I told him I was there. I wanted to ride horses. He said, yeah, I'm the owner. Hop in. He turns around, takes me back, saddles me up on his own personal horse. We'll call the horse Trigger because I can't remember his real name. Opened up and unlocked this gate that went up. And sure enough, there's a trail that goes up the hill, and up the hill Trigger went. Well, we got up onto the plateau. I'm having the time of my life. It's a beautiful day in New Zealand. I can see 360 degrees around me. And off in the distance, about 200 yards away, is a lone tree on the other side of this plateau. So I just pointed the horse towards the tree and said, giddy up. And Trigger took off galloping towards that tree. And when I got to that tree, I went, that was fun. And I turned around and did the same thing. And we took off going back the other way. And I went back and forth across that plateau in New Zealand for about half an hour riding this horse. And I'm telling you, I felt like I owned the world that day. And it was so much fun by myself, gorgeous scenery, horseback riding in New Zealand. If you've ever seen the movie Man from Snowy River, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I actually like to play the piano by ear, and the theme song from The Man from Snowy River is one of the songs I learned to play on the piano by ear. It was that kind of an experience, and it was just fabulous. And I remember writing about it in my journal that night on the bus on the way back to join my buddies about what a great experience this was and how I'll always remember it. It's one of those things that happens to you on that kind of a travel experience that is just not going to happen to you otherwise in your life. And as a college student, you know, thinking about what you're going to do in your life and all these dreams and hopes you have and et cetera, that just adds to your adrenaline and to your optimism that good things are going to happen and that you should go for it, basically. And that's what I did. And that's what happened. And it was fabulous. So anyway, here you have two guys at the Cheesecake Factory yesterday in Chevy Chase, Maryland. One in his 60s, one in his 70s, sitting there talking about, reminiscing about our missionary service and our trips around the world. And honestly, I get so involved in business that Steve had to contact me a couple of times before I finally made the decision, okay, I'm going to block some time out. And boy, am I glad that I did that, because it was so much fun to just sit down with him, talk about some of this stuff, share and swap stories back and forth about all kinds of things. And I did a little post on Facebook on our group page that I set up for all of our missionaries from decades ago. We call Steve Father Shuey, kind of a Catholic name, if you will, because when you send a new kid out on a mission, the first guy that you pair him up with, we're called companions, the first guy you pair him up with is critical, because his job is to train the new guy. Steve was so good at it that our leader had Steve train a bunch of new guys on a regular basis, and I guess he got the name Father Shuey for Steve Shoemaker. We call him Father Shuey. So I did a post yesterday on Facebook that said that every few years I like to get together and confess my sins to Father Shuey. And it always takes a while, but it's a good thing to do. And I made a note that if you buy him some cheesecake first, he lowers his rates. So then there's a photo of the two of us in the Cheesecake Factory just having a great time, which we did. And I guess what I'm saying is, make sure you take the time in your busy schedules to spend some time with good friends and build those memories, because those are the kind of memories that will last. I will not long remember the water heater I'm about to pick up, but I will remember for decades my lunch with Steve Shoemaker. And that's just the way it works. So take the time to do the things that create great memories and then go from there. Also, I need to tell you about an experience I had. Let me go back to something else real quick, and then I'll get back to this other experience. I'm a big fan, because I've talked about it on this show quite a bit, of a free app out there called Upside. Upside is an app. You download it to your phone. And next time you go out to buy gas, you go to Upside and you look for gas stations in your area that are offering cash back. And you claim the offer on your phone. You then go get the gas. The app tells you how much they're charging per gallon, how many cents you're going to get back per gallon, stuff like that. You claim the offer on your phone. You pay for it with a debit or credit card at the pump. You input into your account the card numbers that you're using. And within 24 hours of getting the gas, you will get an email that says you just earned, $1.50 or $3 or whatever it is from Upside. And they have an account set up for you, your own account, and they just start adding money to that account. Well, I found out my account right now, in a little bit less than 2 years, has almost $900 in it. I'm at about $887, something like that. And they sent me an email earlier in January that recapped my year of 2025. And they said that I'm in the top 1% of all upside users in terms of how much cash back I'm getting. One of the cool things they did too recently is they added Giant food stores, which is like, you know, Safeway out here in the Washington, D.C. area. Large grocery store chain. They have not had many of these on before, but now they've added Giant food. And when, and you get this, you go in and you buy groceries, and you get 17 to 20% cash back on the groceries, which is really fun if you go in and find something that's on sale anyway. You know, buy one, get one free. That's a great deal. And then on top of that, you get another 20% cash back put into your account. Once you have the money in your account, and it happens within about, like I said, 24 to 48 hours, you can cash it out whenever you want to by having them send it to your bank account or send it to PayPal or pick any one of a whole bunch of different gift cards that you can get. But I just let it build up with the idea that I'll cash it in one of these days and take a cruise to Bermuda or something and call it good. So I have almost $900 in the account. If you want to download this app and get extra money back on your first purchase, or maybe even more than that, there's a promo code that you can use. And I'm a golfer. And I remember it myself by just saying, don't slice a 9-iron or a pitching wedge. The promo code is DS, the number 9, PW. Don't slice a 9-iron or a pitching wedge. DS 9, PW. Use that promo code when you go out to get gas and you'll get extra money coming back. And that's just a good deal. So I'm having, and it also works at restaurants and convenience stores. So it's not just gasoline, but the thing that's fun right now is that they've just added the grocery store chain, and you can get cash back buying groceries. And I'm not talking about 3%. I'm talking about 17 to 20%. So I went in recently. Here's another thing that was kind of fun. In the, some of these grocery stores in the back of the stores, they'll have a clearance rack. And a couple of months after certain holidays, that holiday merchandise stuff is on the clearance rack. I love to go in and buy stuff that is 90% off, like Halloween decorations or whatever. I'll buy $100 worth of Halloween decorations for 10 bucks. And then when I go to the checkout counter, I get another 20% off because of upside. Or 20% cash back. So now I'm buying them at about 92% off. And that's just amazing. And then I take pictures of them and upload them into my online store at the retail price. And next Halloween, if some of this stuff sells, I'll make 10 times my money on the product. So I have a growing retail store of items that I buy at 90% off. Non-perishable items, just the stuff, you know, the decorations and the stuff that you can sell around Halloween time. So I'm having a blast with that as well. It's just fun to buy something that's 90% off. You just don't get to see that very often. And that's kind of my rule. If it's 75% off, I don't buy it. If it gets to 90, then I will. And one of the great things is when you go to the checkout counter, like I did at a store recently, they had a whole shopping cart back in the back full of their Halloween items that are now 90% off. I just took the whole shopping cart up, had the lady check them out at the counter. And the funnest thing in the world is to listen to the checkout counter talk to you. It rings up an item for $7.99. And I'm getting it at 90% off. So then it comes in and it says savings $7.20. And the receipt for that trip to the grocery store with all these Halloween items was 8 feet long. I kept it, took a picture of it, and I'm just having a blast with this stuff as a little side thing, as a way to build an online retail store where you're buying your product at 90% off. I mean, it just doesn't get much better than that. Now, if the stuff doesn't sell next Halloween, well, then I can discount it. I can drop it in half and still make five times my money. But we'll see if it sells. Hopefully it will. In the meantime, it doesn't cost me much at all. It's just like loose change. And I'm walking away with great merchandise. And my only risk is that Halloween won't happen next year. Well, that's not going to happen. Halloween's coming around next year. So anyway, that's kind of a fun thing. That's something I've stumbled onto that is also working out well. And it's great to go in and get the stuff at 90% off, but then get another 17 or 20% off in cash back from the Upside app. So if you don't have the Upside app, regardless of where you live in the country, if you're in the continental United States, and I don't know about Alaska and Hawaii, to be honest with you, but if you're in the continental United States and you buy gas or groceries, or you go to a 7-Eleven or some other convenience store or restaurants, you should have the Upside app on your phone, because you'll get cash back free just for buying stuff that you're already buying anyway. And if you get really excited about it like me, and you use it regularly, you'll have some amazing things happen. Right now, in the month of January, they're doing a promo in my area where if you go to Giant Food and do five separate purchases at Giant Food, they give you an additional 30 cents per gallon off on your next gas purchase. So you go in and fill up a truck, like I do, for 20 gallons of gas, and you'll pick up $6 in cash back plus whatever the gas station is already offering. And again, things just continue to grow and your account gets bigger and bigger. And that's what you want. That's pretty good life, folks. So there you go. I'm going to take another break here. I'm almost to where I'm going to pick up the water heater, but I'm going to take another break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show here on the BBS Radio Network, and we'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, where we try to teach you each week how to get the junk out of your homes and your offices and your garages and also out of your life. I'm your host, Alan Cook. I'm just chewing on some popcorn, which I have to give a little shout out to the scrap metal yard that we use called Rockville Metals. And these guys do some amazing things. There's some really good business acumen here that I'm going to just pass on to you off the top of my head. I'm chewing on some popcorn right now as I'm doing this show, drinking some ice water, because these guys have a popcorn machine in their office and they have a soda machine. And anytime a customer comes to their yard, you dump all the metal out in the yard. You then go inside to an ATM machine and you scan a code that they give you on a little slip of paper. And it then pays you what you're owed for the metal that you just dropped off. And while you're in there, you can get free popcorn, free sodas, or free ice water, or free coffee, or whatever, all the time. That's just standard procedure. And so I take advantage of that. And so I'm sitting here chewing on popcorn and drinking ice water from these guys. On Saturday, now that is any time during the week. They're open, you know, 7 days a week. Any time that you go in there, the soda machine, the coffee, the water, and the popcorn are all there for you. That's a great little kicker. But what's cool, even more cool, is that Saturday mornings, they make muffins available. Big muffins, free. And there's a wonderful lady there, Hispanic lady, who kind of runs the food part of this business. And she just has a bunch of muffins there available, and you can tip her or not tip her, but you don't have to pay for the muffins. You know, I usually grab a muffin and leave her a dollar, you know, say gracias or something, and she'll say de nada. But that's on Saturday mornings. But Saturday around noon, they have 100 box lunches to give out to people on a first-come, first-served basis. And that's just and that's a cool thing as well. So they give you refreshments during the week. On Saturdays, it's even better. They give you more stuff, and that's an awesome thing. And then you get a free lunch if you're one of the lucky 100 people. Sometimes these lunches are from Popeyes. Sometimes they're, you know, and I mean, and these are free. Sometimes they're McDonald's, you know, McChickens and double cheeseburgers and whatever. It just depends on what they decided to get, but there's always, and sometimes it's a, let's say, a Mexican lunch, you know, tortillas and refried beans and stuff like that. But it's free, and they give out 100 of those lunches. So you get drinks, you get popcorn, you get muffins on Saturday mornings, you get free lunches on Saturday afternoons. And then, get this, at Christmas time, Feliz Navidad, at Christmas time, last year, they gave out a mini backpack to customers, and this year, so I have that mini backpack in my truck right now. It's got a bunch of tools in it, and separate from that, this year, they gave out kind of a round wooden speaker type system that you can use, you know, at home, kind of a surround sound speaker type of thing. That is fabulous. And that was great. So they made that available. And I don't know how many of those they gave out. I just know that I got one. And it was terrific. So those kind of extra little things that you do, that these guys do, separate you, you know, kind of separate the sheep from the goats, so to speak. And these guys are really good at taking care of their customers and having fun and making it fun to go there and do business, which is why so many of us go there. I can also tell you my Spanish is getting better as a result of hanging around these guys. And I'm just kind of tickled with the whole concept. They're really good. So anyway, that's another thing that's awesome. I'm going to pull over here for just a second in one of the parking lots. Actually, I'll just pull over on the side of the road here for just a second. I'm really close to where I'm going to pick up a water heater, but I'm going to delay picking it up until we finish the show, and then I'll go grab it. About 10 days ago, I had a little granddaughter that was blessed in church out in Utah, and I was thrilled to go out there and be a part of that. I flew out Friday night from Washington, D.C. The price of the airfare was $25. I'm not kidding. And that was mostly the airport taxes that you pay. The airfare itself was only a penny. And I get those rates because I'm a member of the Go Wild Pass for Frontier Airlines, where you're supposed to pay $600 a year. Then you fly free for a year. Your airfares are only a penny, but you have to pay the airport taxes, which is non-negotiable. So the airport taxes to go any place in the United States domestically are about $25 to $30. Sometimes only $15. So I can fly from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, confirm seats, exit row seats, extra legroom, no upgrade charge, free carry-on, free personal item for $16. And I can fly to Utah for about $30. So I did that on the about the 2nd of January. I flew out to Utah on a Friday night. I went through Denver. I got into Salt Lake City at about midnight. I have a rental car that I'm going to pick up at 8 in the morning. And instead of paying for a hotel, which is only a couple of miles away from the airport, and then having to get up and, you know, get to the hotel and get checked in and then get up and get checked out and then go back to the airport, I just found a cozy place in the corner of one of the gates at the hotel, at the airport, and just slept right there. I'm one of these crazy guys that can do that. And I can actually get some sleep. So I spent the night at the airport. 8 o'clock in the morning, I go to the Hertz counter. I'm supposed to have a mid-sized pickup truck available because that was one of the best deals they had. It was like $35 a day or something when I booked this through Priceline. But they said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Cook, we don't have any mid-size available. We can upgrade you to a full size at no extra charge." I said, "Great, do that." So I got a Dodge Ram 2500 pickup truck that had 2,000 miles on it. I drive a Dodge Ram pickup truck in my business as one of our trucks. And so I felt right at home. And here was an upgraded model. I hopped in, and this is Saturday morning now. The blessing for the baby is not till Sunday morning. But as I've mentioned on prior shows, one of the things I do, because my religion is really important to me and brings me a lot of joy and a lot of peace, one of the things I like to do is go visit the different temples that we build around the world. I don't know how many we have, maybe 100 of them in the United States, and I've been to all of them, except one that recently was built in Elko, Nevada. So I'm in Salt Lake, and I'm thinking, hey, this temple has only been up and running for about 3 months. Wouldn't that be cool if on Saturday I could kind of slip out and go to that temple, and that would cross another one off my list? And here I have the rental truck, and I get in the rental truck at 8 o'clock in the morning. I put it on GPS, and it says, go straight for 215 miles on I-80 going west. And then I looked down below and thought, what's the total distance I need to go to get to the actual temple? Well, it's 215 miles. And I went, oh, they built this thing right off the freeway, which we've done in a number of instances before. So I've never been to Elko, Nevada. I hop in the truck and I take off. And one of the great things about the speed limits out in that part of the United States is that they run about 75 to 80 miles an hour on the speed limit. We don't get that in Washington, D.C. So I have a rule where if I'm out on a freeway traveling like that, I go about 5 miles over the speed limit. I put it on cruise control and whammo, off I go. So it takes me a couple of hours to get out. To maybe 2.5 hours or something to get out to Elko, Nevada. And sure enough, as you pull into town on the freeway, there is our temple on the right-hand side. Nice big spire, etc. What was interesting, though, is that right behind it were these large poles with netting, the kind of thing you'd see at a Top Golf facility. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. We've never seen that before. We must have built this next to a Top Golf facility. Well, on closer examination, no, we didn't do that, but we did build it right next to a golf course. So they put up nets like this to protect the cars for the patrons that are at the temple in the parking lot there. So somebody doesn't, you know, hook a 7-iron off the fairway and it goes in and smashes somebody's car who's there doing religious work. This is unique in all the temples around the world that I've seen, over 100, maybe 120 now, something like that. First time we've ever built one right next to a golf course where we had to put up, you know, netting there. But the cool thing about this is how hospitable the staff was at this place. And when I was flying out, I stopped in Denver, and I like to get my other granddaughter, who is about a year and a half old now, I like to get her little stuffed animals from different airports or different places that I'm in. And I wanted to get her something from Colorado. So I found a little stuffed teddy bear, a little chocolate dark teddy bear that said, you know, Colorado on the little lime green hoodie that this chocolate teddy bear was wearing. And I thought, perfect. So that was easy. But what do you get for the newborn who is now 2 months old, who is going to be christened in church? She's not going to remember it, of course. She's too young, but it's a big deal. And the family and the relatives have gathered for this ceremony for her. What do you get her as a memento of that day? And here, her grandfather, me, is at Elko, Nevada, at one of our temples the day before. And so I'm out there in Elko, and I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great if I could find something for her that had something to do with this temple that a little girl would like, you know? And I couldn't really think of, you know, what would that be, and do they make any kind of a little Christmas ornament or a charm for a charm bracelet or something like that? No, probably not. And if they do, you probably are not going to be able to buy it in Elko. You probably got to buy it from Salt Lake City if they have anything up and running for this new temple has come on board. So as I'm coming, I spend about half an hour or so inside the temple. As I'm coming out of the temple, there's a place there called a recommend desk. That's the desk that you kind of check in at when you go into the temple. They basically verify your credentials so you can go in. So I, on the way out, there's a husband and wife team working there behind that desk. And I mentioned to them this little dilemma I had of trying to figure out what can I get my little granddaughter to help her remember this day by. And the gentleman pulls out of his suit pocket one of these Japanese fold-out fans, you know, that you can kind of create a little draft for yourself, cool yourself off with one of these, I'm going to call it like a floral type fan, a fold up fan. And I thought it was kind of strange that he would just pull one of these out of his pocket, and he looked at it and then he just put it back in. He didn't really say much about it. But after he did that, he looked at me and he said, stay here for a second. And he said it in a way that I knew that something good was about to happen. I just didn't know what it was. But I knew something good was about to happen. He said it with confidence, and he said it in kind of a matter-of-fact type of way. And I went, this is going to be good. Whatever this is, it's going to be good. Well, he disappears around the corner. A couple of minutes later, he comes back, and he hands me a wooden Japanese fold-out fan that was made in honor of the dedication of this temple, October 10th of 2025. And it has that printed on the fan as you fold it out and open it up. There in the middle of the fan, it says, you know, Elko, Nevada Temple Dedication, 10th of October, 2025. And then down in the bottom right-hand corner where your thumb, you know, is working with the fan, it also says Elko, Nevada Temple. And it's a beautiful, brand new, clean, I'm calling it a wooden type of fan. And he hands that to me and he goes, will that work? And I was stunned. Steven Spielberg could not have scripted this any better. I just looked at, I didn't know what to say. I went, well, heavens, yes, that works. That's the perfect gift for a little girl to remind her that on the day before her church blessing, her grandpa was at the Elko, Nevada temple, because those are important to him, and he loves temples, and he loves the peace and the joy that he gets there. So that, as a reminder to him that I was there for her blessing, and that I went to Elko the day before, and here is a fan that a little girl is going to love as a memento of her blessing throughout her life, I gave it to my daughter, the mom, and she just was really touched by it. I was thrilled. I thanked this man a couple of times, walked out of the temple, walked across the parking lot, got in the pickup truck, and just started to cry because I was so touched by this awesome gift that you could not have planned on, you could not have asked for, you had no idea that it existed. It just came out of the blue right when you needed it. Now, a lot of people would call that a little mini miracle, which is kind of what it is. And I had no clue on what he was going to do or what it was going to look like. I was a stranger to Elko. And, you know, I didn't know. I just thought, boy, ideally getting her something that has something to do with this temple the day before she's blessed, that would be perfect. But I wasn't really planning on making that happen. I kind of thought, well, let's see, what's plan B? I didn't really think much about plan B because plan A worked out perfectly. So the reason I'm kind of closing the show with this story is in the last 2 weeks, I've had an opportunity to sit down and have lunch with a guy that I met 50 years ago when we were both volunteered as church missionaries for our church. And that friendship has lasted. Now I've given a gift to my little granddaughter who has something to remember her grandpa by. It also teaches her the importance of a temple. And it was interesting that when my son-in-law said the prayer in the congregation to give this little girl, Abby, her name and then give her a blessing, he talked about temples and how important they are in our church and how she would be blessed if she actively participated in temple work in her life. And I just thought, perfect, you know, perfect. And then after that blessing, it's on the first Sunday of the month in our church, it's a kind of an open mic thing. And anybody can go up there and kind of share their testimony of the church or the goodness there or whatever you would like to say about good things that are happening to you in your life, good or bad, frankly. And so I took that little fan up and told the story of the fan. And just had a blast doing it. So it was such a memorable thing. And it was, you know, you get in a pickup truck and you drive 215 miles at 85 miles an hour one way. That in itself is kind of fun. There's not much to look at out there between Salt Lake City and Elko, Nevada, other than the Great Salt Lake and a bunch of barren ground in between small mountain ranges that show up every 50 miles or something. But it doesn't matter. When you get out there and you have the experience like I had, and you hop back in the truck with your little fan, and you hit Arctic Circle, which is one of my favorite places to hit. It's kind of a western fast food place. They have one of those right across the street from the temple, too. And I thought, man, that was an inspired place to put that baby. I drove back to Salt Lake. The next morning, I went to the church service. And Sunday night at 9 o'clock, I flew out to come back to Washington, and I was back at work at 1 o'clock Monday afternoon in Washington, D.C. Total airfare ran about $50. So check out the Go Wild Pass on Frontier Airlines. You'll see it at flyfrontier.com. And I'll close the show by saying that one of the great things, you know, sometimes you get a great deal like this Go Wild Pass, but then halfway through the year or three quarters of the way through the year, they come in and say, okay, your pass is going to renew in May, but if you want to renew it now in January, you can do it for half price. So for the last couple of years, I've gotten the annual Go Wild Pass for $299 with all the same benefits. That's about as good as it gets, folks. Well, listen, thanks for listening. I hope some of the stuff we talked about helps you get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life, and that you can just bounce through life and be as happy as your radio host claims that he is. For 12 years on Facebook, I've said I'm one of the 10 happiest people in the world. Me, Oprah, and 8 other people I haven't thought much about. I've since added a couple more names to that list of people who I think are really happy. But get the junk out of your life, you're going to be one happy camper. That's the motto of the show. Thanks again to the BBS Radio Network. We'll be back next Thursday at 3 o'clock on the Junk Refund Show. Have a great time in the meantime. If you have any questions about junk removal, send us an email to junkrefund@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.